Why do Americans pay so much for things like airplane tickets and mobile phone plans? I mean, compared to the Europeans. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Here we are 4 days after the U.S. and China agreed in principle to the first phase of a trade deal. Market participants have been cheering this by adding more risk to portfolios, at least until today. Lindsay Piegzas, the chief economist at the investment company Stifel Nicolaus. I asked her today about how an emerging deal would be enforced.
Well, this is one of the potential pitfalls with this phase one deal, the question of enforceability. Now, China has promised to, quote, crack down on intellectual property theft, forced technology transfers, counterfeit of goods. But many of these principles China has agreed to crack down on in the past without any sort of meaningful change. And so the question remains of whether or not the U.S. will actually be able to hold China to this agreement.
Something else on the minds of market participants today is the Prime Minister of the UK, Boris Johnson, suggesting that he's willing to do Brexit the hard way without a deal with the EU if it comes to that.
He does certainly look as if he's intending to move forward with a Brexit, with or without an agreement. And of course, that increases the probability that we do see Britain exit the bloc without a trade agreement in place. This would deliver the intended outcome, as he has promised, but with a tremendous amount of uncertainty and volatility, not only for the pound, but certainly for the UK economy.
Lindsay Piegzas is the chief economist at Stifel Nicolaus. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So anyone on your holiday gift list paying student loans? A financial technology startup called Pillar today is launching a new arrangement that lets friends and family make payments on those loans, you know, just to be nice. And just through the holiday season this time around, Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
The new service lets users create a GoFundMe-style campaign. Payments go directly to their student loan servicer. Why not just give cash? Michael Block is Pillar's co-founder.
I think, you know, the confidence that you could have that it's actually being used as directed is something that will help people make even more of a contribution.
Pillar won't get any of that contribution. The service is free, and it doesn't sell user data. Richard Garrett with research firm EduVentures says the business model is a gamble.
Get people hooked on something or other, and then once they're hooked, start selling them other things. And I suspect they're still scratching their head as to what that might be.
Garrett says lots of companies are trying to capitalize on student loan anxiety. One sells a gift card that lets people contribute to a college savings plan. Another app rounds up your spending to the nearest dollar and sends the difference to your loan servicer. All nibbling away at the more than $1.6 trillion in outstanding student loans. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Marketplace helps you answer questions you've always wondered about, and now that includes finding out more about how and why we do what we do every day. Become a Marketplace investor today, and you'll get exclusive access to a series of virtual AMAs featuring Molly Wood, Kai Rizdahl, and me, David Brancaccio. Don't miss out on our 2020 Ask Me Anything series. Contribute $60 or sign up to donate $5 a month at marketplace.org. And thank you. Guess what? Europeans pay a lot less than Americans for important things like mobile phone service, airplane tickets, and a lot more. A noted economist says that's because Europeans are into competition and Americans are not. Thomas Philippon is at New York University's Stern School. His new book is called The Great Reversal. Thanks for joining us, Professor.
Thank you for having me.
So America, land of the free and land of free enterprise and competition, we must lead the world. In that, no?
Well, I think not anymore. So if you look at markets in the telecom industry, for instance, cell phones or internet providers at home, these are markets where 20 years ago, the U.S. was clearly a world leader. Prices were lower here. More people had access to internet because services were better, faster, and cheaper. And today, it's just not true anymore. Most people in developed nations pay half of what U.S. households pay for their phone bill or their internet bill. I think the problem is that it's a mixture of regulatory capture, extreme influence by lobbyists, and also the fact that some regulators are afraid of doing anything because when they do something, they are criticized whether they win or whether they lose.
But you also make a point that in some industries, there's not a lot of competitors out there. I mean, there are reasons for that, but talk about that a little bit, like in the banking industry.
Yeah. So there, of course, the other reason is that there are many industries where regulations have become quite burdensome. Finance has always been heavily regulated. And of course, that means that it's harder for non-bank companies to enter the banking landscape and industry and start competing with the banks. That was, by the way, true already in the 2000. Walmart applied for a banking license back in the days and then was denied. It was denied under heavy lobbying by small and medium-sized banks who were worried about excessive competition from Walmart, which, you know, may or may not be true. But at the end of the day, that means the consumer is going to pay a higher price.
So just briefly, when you're in a social situation and someone refers to America's free market system, do you call them on that?
Oh, yes. Most industries have become dominated by large firms that have lousy service and high prices. And it's costly. I mean, just you have to realize that for the median households, they pay higher prices than they should. And as consumers, that means their bill at the end of the year is about $3,000 too high. And if firms were to compete, so if we could, you know, go back to the U.S. as it was 20 years ago, then firms would compete more, and so they tend to invest and innovate more. They also, because they have lower prices, they tend to sell more, and therefore they have to hire more workers. That tends to beat up the wage, roughly to the tune of about $2,000 per year for the median household. That's the opportunity cost of having low competition in the economy.
NYU Stern School professor Thomas Philippon. His new book is called The Great Reversal, How America Gave Up on Free Markets. Professor, thank you.
Thank you so much.
How competition fizzles when companies capture the hearts and minds of their government minders, and a lot more, can be found in the director's cut of that interview, streamable at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.